Hello, everyone. It's Pastor Steve, and this is my sermon for Palm Sunday. Sorry, it's a little late. A lot of stuff that I've been thinking about because of our coronavirus outbreak. And so I would like to share with you a little bit of the scripture and the sermon for that day. Our first reading is the Old Testament reading from Zechariah 9, verses 9 to 12. It's the coming King of Zion. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle shall bow be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This ends our first reading today. Our second reading is our epistle reading, and it is from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that ends our epistle reading. Our gospel reading is really what I'm going to focus on today, but I'm going to include things from the two others too. And we are talking about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him. This completes our gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday. Boy, Easter's almost here, isn't it? Especially in the strangest Easter season I have ever seen or even heard of in our lifetimes. Now, as I understand this, the same thing happened during the Spanish flu epidemic during 1918-19, where 100 million people died. But, my friends, none of us were around then to remember it today. My focus today is our gospel lesson, because I think it's really important. Now, let me read to you the first part of that gospel reading again. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm leaves and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even as the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." A few years ago, Thrivent, which is the Lutheran insurance company, it's made up of AAL, Aid Association for Lutherans and Lutheran Brotherhood, when they joined together and they named it Thrivent, distributed a print of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. That's a beautiful, detailed painting of Jesus coming through the Damascus Gate into the city. Now, you can see the people just giddy with excitement. Now, they're laying a carpet of palm fronds in the road in front of Jesus, riding on the donkey that we read about, waving to the adoring citizens of Jerusalem. However, in one of the doorways, you can see members of the Sanhedrin scowling and muttering to themselves about the reception the city was giving to Jesus. Now, whoever this artist was, I really believe he caught the story of the beginning of the Passion of Scripture. In the last 40 years, the church has moved away from celebrating Palm Sunday to focus on Passion Sunday and sharing the Passion story of Jesus. As a pastor, I really don't like this. The change came about because of the difficulty of getting modern Christians to come to church on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Two services which center on the Passion story. Well, so why is Palm Sunday important? Why, as a pastor, would I believe we need to celebrate it? Because it's the culmination of prophecy in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Malachi. And I just lost my place. Here we go. Now, I've talked about this before. Why did Jesus really have to die on the cross? Couldn't God just make a new decree and change the way things are done on earth? Well, of course he could. God is all-powerful and in complete control of everything. But the Word of God is important, isn't it? God decreed the way the Jewish religion was going to worship him, using the sacrifice of animals so that the smoke could be pleasing to God, which he tells us it is pleasing to him. So the problem wasn't God, it was the sinful nature of man. The fall of Adam into sin in the Garden of Eden caused a broken world that we still live in today. God wanted to change the first covenant to a new covenant. But even God had to follow the rules he had decreed, a sacrifice without blemish, a perfect sacrifice. All right, so what does God do to fulfill this? Well, he sends his Son to die for us, the second person of the Trinity, the perfect sacrifice without blemish to fulfill the first covenant. Now, I really like the way Luther's Small Catechism describes this sending, the humiliation and the exaltation. Humiliation, because Jesus had to be fully man, a real human being, a humiliation for God to give up his Godhood to become one of us. That's why it's called a humiliation. So why'd this have to happen? As our Old Testament reading tells us, Jesus had to be a man so that he could be our prophet, priest, and most importantly, our king. This is the reason for the giddy reception of the people of Jerusalem, the people who were expecting the establishment of an earthly kingdom where Israel was going to be the country in charge of the world. And so they would become important too. They just didn't get it, did they? As Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." His job was to die on a tree, a true sacrifice that was totally without blemish, and most importantly, without sin, in order to fulfill God's requirements for our salvation. Well, this leads us to the cross, my friends. I have to admit that I have had to go into the Passion story a bit, because without having Monday, Thursday, and Good Fridays ourselves to continue this story, it is needed to be discussed. But before I finish, I want to share something special with you. By now, most of you know that 97-year-old Willard Wilson went to glory on Palm Sunday morning. As I've been thinking about this, which is one of the reasons that this took a little bit longer to do, what a wonderful day to meet Jesus on the anniversary of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Willard made his triumphant entry into heaven and the blessings of eternal life. Wouldn't you love to see that meeting of Willie and Jesus at the gates of heaven? I know I would have. My friends, we looked at the humiliation of Jesus, and I am purposely leaving the cross and the resurrection for our Easter celebration and sermon. Now, one of the things I have been thinking about, and we are going to do, after all of this is done, we are still going to celebrate Easter. But we'll announce that, and we'll let you know when. But for right now, let's enjoy the celebration of Jesus willingly going to his death on the cross for us. The new covenant in his blood sent for us for eternal life. This is most certainly true. May this blessing of Jesus's entry into heaven keep our hearts and minds on the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior for us. Amen.